preaching, and mine is as well. But I do believe as a missionary, it's good to take some time and tell you what we're doing. That's what our week looked like, and that's really what went on. But open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. I want to talk about what the Word of God says here about the power that we are indwelt with by the Holy Spirit and the purpose of that. Acts chapter number 1. And I'm not going to take all night. I already preached once this morning. We have our Zoom meetings, and so I preach in all over the place, and my wife and I have 4 or 5 meetings a week, and tomorrow morning we'll have our youth meeting. It'll be 7 p.m. in Thailand and 5 p.m. in Pakistan, and we have teens that join from America, Pakistan, and from Thailand, and then tomorrow evening will be Friday morning in Thailand. We have our men's Bible study, and I'll start teaching at 11 p.m. tomorrow, and that's a 2-hour time of studying the Word of God. We're going chapter by chapter. We are in Exodus chapter 29 tomorrow evening, and the men, like I say, they enjoy that time of fellowship, and they enjoy studying and learning from the Word of God. Having said that, let me just throw this in there. It's not a church. It's not a church. It's not a church if it's online, all right? It's a church. You got to see, and you got to be able to smell the person next to you. You got to be able to touch them. You can't have fellowship online. I'm sorry. It don't work that way. And I'm not even in favor of tithing online. The Bible says to bring it in, doesn't it? Are we not to bring in our tithes? Well, how are you going to bring it online? You can send it, I guess. I mean, that's fine if you want to do that, but I don't believe that. Churches are face-to-face. Fellowship is to be done in person. In person. That is what the Lord intended. And I don't know how you can have a universal, invisible, online. You can't. You can have outreach. We have preaching on the radio. Praise the Lord for that. It's not a church. Amen. It's not a church. You can go to a music concert and listen to Christian music if you want to. It's not a church. It's not a church. And if somebody says, we have in church. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's not a church. This is a church. This is a church. And so that's what we believe in. We believe in Ephesians 3:21, that God is glorified through the church. All right? And so God has chosen to use the church to glorify his name. Well, let's see what Jesus says here in Acts chapter number 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, these are the apostles. This is during the time after the resurrection, but before his ascension, those 40 days. And he's appearing to the apostles, and they are saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, is this the time you're coming back to kill the enemy, to rule and to reign and to make us princes over your kingdom? Is this the time? They're still thinking about that. And Jesus says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you'll run around speaking in tongues. That's not what it says. Right? That's not what it says. You'll be filled with the Holy Ghost and you're going to feel good. You're going to get goosebumps when you hear that song and jump a pew. That's not what it says. That's not why the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles that they were going to receive power. The power was not to make them feel good. The power was not to speak some language that only God can understand. The power was not so that prayers would be answered or that miracles would happen. The power was so that they could serve. The power was so that they could go. This is the challenge that is given to the believer, but more importantly, to the church. This is the responsibility given to us. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's why we receive power. It's to do something. Not to receive. Okay, now we are blessed. We are blessed, and we don't need to feel guilty for it. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Praise the Lord. And nobody tried to shame me when I was in Pakistan. We had a prayer meeting, And a man in Texas had told me that morning, he said, my house got hit by lightning, my garage door opener broke. So I shared that in the prayer meeting just to see what would happen. And I said, pray for my friend John. His house got hit by lightning and his garage door opener doesn't work. One of the men raised his hand and said, what's a garage? I said, well, a garage is a room in your house for your car. He said, you have rooms in your house for a car? Why? And I said, well, because if it rains or if the pollen comes down. We don't want our cars to get dirty or cold or hot. I said, the funny thing is most of us don't have a car in our garage because we have so much junk in there. All the other stuff that's, you know, not good enough to sell but not bad enough to throw away. And he said, so you have a room in your house for a car? And I said, well, usually two cars. but we usually only have one car in there. And he said, well, what's a garage door opener? And I said, well, we can't be opening it and closing it every day. We have a button. And when we come driving up, we push the button and the door opens. He said, you have a room in your house for your car and a remote control to open and close the door. I said, yes, we do. And he said, and his house got hit by lightning, and it broke. I said, that's what happened. And so he wants us to pray for him. I said, yes, he does, because it might rain when he goes to open that garage door, and we can't have that. We just can't have that. You say, I'm not rich. Well, it's all a matter of perspective, brother. Yeah, it's right. Just a matter of perspective. Andrew's here tonight. He lived in Thailand a long time. We were in Ohio one time. We were at a missions apartment. And I gave him an ice chest that had water in it. And I said, take this to the bathroom and drain it in the shower. There was a shower there at the missions apartment. So he left and he came back. Daddy, I can't. The igloo's too big. The shower's too small. I said, look, just slowly pour it out in the toilet or something. I can't get it in there, Daddy. I said, baby, pour it in the sink. It's not that much. Just take care of it. Anybody in here got teenage boys? If it was something online, he'd find a way, you know, but not this. So then he came back. He said, I got it figured out. I said, good job. Good job, son. He said, I poured it in the drain in the floor. Now, we were on the second floor. I said, baby, there's no drain in the floor. He said, yeah, there is. Great big one. I said, baby, that's an air conditioner vent. He said, air conditioner vent? Why in the world would you air condition a bathroom? I said, because we want to do our business in comfort. He said, you don't air condition bathrooms, Dad. Come on. He thought I was messing with him. I said, baby, we air condition bathrooms in America. The whole house is air conditioned. Maybe not the garage, right? But the rest of the house is all air conditioned. And he said, you're messing with me. He just didn't believe that. I had a Thai student ask me one time, is it true that you flush your toilets with drinking water? Do you bathe in drinking water? Is that true? I thought about it for a minute and I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. We flush our toilets with purified drinking water. The world is struggling to get clean water and we shower in it. It goes right down the drain. We don't even think about it. We don't even think about it, do we? Are we really in poverty? No, we're not. We're really doing okay. God has been good to us. We have freedoms, and God has been good to us. And Jesus told these apostles, you're going to have power, and it's not power so that you can be blessed. It's not power so you can get more. It's not power so people will look up to you. It's power so that you can take the gospel, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I want you to notice the next word. It says both. It says both. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. It does not say you'll be a witness unto me first in Jerusalem and then Judea and after that Samaria and ultimately unto the ends of the earth. This is not a chronological order of command. This is a geographical order of command. It means that while you are reaching Jerusalem, you are reaching Judea. And while you are reaching Jerusalem and Judea, you're reaching Samaria and the uttermost. Who can do that? Only the church. That's why God has given the responsibility to the church to do that. That's why you have all of these flags and missionaries coming up here and showing you pictures and screaming at you all night. It's because we have a charge to reach the world with the gospel, and we work together. I like going to Pakistan. You might not like it, but you don't have to. You don't. You don't have to go to any of these countries, but you can be a part of reaching the lost. Amen. Only in missions do you have that kind of opportunity. I don't know of any other organization that has as much potential possibility and is as open. Children can participate in foreign missions. Little bitty kids. You guys have things all the time where you use your children and you do fundraisers. Only in this church would you sell a ping pong ball. And you sell tens of thousands of them and you use them for God's glory. Children, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful opportunity. Well, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Turn back, if you will, one page to the book of John, chapter 20. Let me just read this. I want you to understand the frame of mind that the apostles were in, okay? This is the day of the resurrection. Peter and John, they have seen the empty tomb. Christ has appeared to some people. An angel has spoken to others. But the apostles themselves, as a group, have not yet seen the resurrected Savior. And so in John chapter 20, verse number 19, then the same day at evening, this same day means the day of resurrection, at evening, being the first day of the week, I'm in John 20, verse 19, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for what? Fear. They were afraid. They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they witnessed the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they knew he was dead. They knew he died. And they had fear of the Jews, because now the Jews are coming after them. They are next. Fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. I'll go to churches, and every church I go to, if we do a Q&A, there's always some sweet person, loving, compassionate person who will always ask me, is it dangerous? It used to bother me, preacher. It used to bother me when they say, is it dangerous? Because in my mind, I was thinking, what if it is? So, this is what the Lord has called us to do. Now, she would ask that question out of concern and love, right? It's not out of a lack of faith on her part. She just concerned about us. You know, she didn't want something bad to happen to us. And I would always think that I should respond in a different way. Like maybe I should say, well, it's dangerous for us, but it's more dangerous if you die without Christ and go to hell for all of eternity. That's more dangerous. It's more dangerous if you remain a Muslim and go off into eternity without the Lord. It's more dangerous if you remain a Buddhist and go into eternity without the Lord. When is it okay to take a risk? When is it okay? But when did we think we had a right to a certain amount of years? When did we think that God owed us anything? When did we start to think that if God's good to me, I'm going to live, you know, a long life, and I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go fishing and do nothing for the rest of my life? When did we start thinking that was normal or okay? I don't want to do that with my life. I don't want to do that with my life. You do what you want, but I'll tell you what I would do if I was you. I'd get involved, and I'd participate. Because in your last day, if you have a chance to reflect on your life, you'll be glad for every moment you spent doing something for the Lord. And you're not even going to think about that trophy deer. You're not. You're not going to think about that fish. You're not going to think about that round of golf. You're just not going to think about that. You're going to think about your family. You're going to think about what you did for the Lord. And I'm telling you what, I think that in life, it's better to go down swinging. Doing something for the Lord, fighting, you know. Now, if something happens to me, I don't want you to think that I went easily, all right? If you hear about me, if I'm in a plane crash or something, I was trying to figure out a way to survive all the way down, all right? I'm not looking to die. I want to serve the Lord as long as I can, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of failing my Savior. I'm afraid of not doing what he has called me to do, and not reaching what he wants me to reach, the people he wants me to reach. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of not doing what everything he has for me to do. You should fear that. That's the fear of the Lord. He has something for you, and you don't do it. You should be afraid. You need to do what God has called you to do. You need to find that out, and you need to do that. The apostles, they were afraid for fear of the Jews, the Bible says. And the Bible says that Jesus came where they were assembled and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you, guys. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. That's not what he said. He didn't say, hey, guys, calm down. The Jews aren't going to kill you like they killed me. He didn't say that. We have a Disneyland sort of faith here in America, where the good guys always win, where the bad guys always lose. And this world is full of sin, and it's a terrible, miserable place. The world is a sick place. I have witnessed it. I've seen some of the worst. And we are blessed in this place, so much so that we seem to be oblivious to the fact. We've got it so good that we are not even aware of how blessed we are. But we are blessed. The Bible says in verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They knew right then he's alive. Now, Thomas wasn't there. You know the story. You know what Thomas did. After this, Thomas went down all the way through Pakistan, modern day Pakistan, and into India preaching the gospel. He was killed. Tradition says he was driven through by a spear. And there is a grave in southern India where the Apostle Thomas is supposedly buried. Now, I don't know if that's all true, but I do know that the ethnic Christians from Pakistan claim to be descendants of the converts of the Apostle Thomas. That's what they claim. And when they sing songs, it sounds like the songs from Jerusalem, from Israel. They sound like Jews when they sing. Their instruments are like old instruments from 1,000 years ago. They only sing psalms. They sing psalms straight from God's word. And they claim to be the descendants of those believers that the Apostle Thomas led to Christ. Well, he wasn't there when this happened. Jesus says in verse number 21, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He didn't say, it's going to be easy, brother. It's going to be simple. Don't worry. Is it dangerous? Yes. Yes, it is. If it's not dangerous, I don't know if we're in the right place. I was in Mexico. I love Mexico. My heart is in Mexico. But I left Mexico. And the reason I left Mexico is God called me to a place where missionaries are not in abundance. There's not that many there. And I've been to those places now. And I'm addicted. You know, God has called me to that place. And I will keep reaching those people. I will keep going to that place and reaching those people because nobody else is. And I can partner with people and I can help them be more effective and we can reach tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. Now think about that. If the Apostle Paul went through there 1,950 years ago and these are the descendants of those believers, how many millions are in heaven today because of doubting Thomas? Right? Hey, listen, the Lord can use you. He can use me. He can use Thomas. He can use anybody. If I were a member of this church, I would be excited about the missions program. I would be excited to participate in that. Did you know that the money doesn't get wasted? It gets spent wisely. It goes to places where there is true need. Well, Jesus said in verse 22, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let me jump ahead. I'm going to just skip ahead and I'll be finished with this. After the resurrection, some 40 days, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. After about 10 more days, the Lord Jesus Christ sent down the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 2. And when the day of Pentecost, on verse 1, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. We're speaking of the apostles now. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what did they do? What did they do? There's a movement today that teaches that the Holy Ghost is there to serve you and make you feel some way or bless you some way or help you some way. That the Holy Ghost is there to put goosebumps on you when you hear that certain song that you just love so much that just gives you that feeling. It makes you jump up and run around. You know, when I met Gwen, her daddy didn't like me very much. And I couldn't date her. He wouldn't let us date. And so we met in Georgia at a camp meeting in Resaca, Georgia. And maybe you heard of this place. I had never heard of it. There was a great man of God named Sammy Allen. Thank you. He got up, and then another fellow was preaching, and a guy next to me stood up and took off running. And he went up there, and he come back around there, and he come back around, and he was running. I'd never seen that before. And he said, "Woo!" And he just ran running. And then he came back and he sat down. And they took up the offering. And when the offering plate come by there, he said, "I'm from Flat Broke Ranch." I said, "Well, I'm from Get a Job Ranch." You know, run around like that and then not give. Right? Amen. Run around like that and not give. What kind of Holy Spirit will get you to run around in a circle but not give? I don't make a lot of friends. The Bible says in verse 5, oh, by the way, we're talking about speaking in tongues. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That's not speaking in tongues like the Pentecostals claim that it is. Every man from all of these different countries could hear what the apostles were saying in their own language, their mother tongue. And they were all amazed, verse number 7, and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues," what? "The wonderful works of God." The Holy Spirit came into the scene, and the apostles began to proclaim the wonderful works of God. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the result. We take the gospel to the lost. We get involved. You're either pushing it out there, or you're going yourself. You're getting it there, or you're taking it there. That's what being full of the Holy Spirit will result in. That's how it will manifest itself. The Bible says, and all were amazed, verse number 12, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he preached a sermon. The first sermon. He preached a sermon. Now, what was the sermon? Well, he told the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he finishes it. And in verse number 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Why? Why were they pricked in their heart? Because the Holy Spirit was convicting them. Because they heard the gospel. Do you know how to reach a Muslim? Tell them the gospel. You know how to reach a Buddhist? I've done that. The gospel. You know how to reach a Hindu? I went to India. We preached the gospel and Hindus came to Christ. It's the gospel. Amen. You reach any lost soul with the gospel, that story never gets old. Amen. When I was a child, my dad took me up into the mountains in Mexico. We went to a village, and my dad told the story of the gospel. And my dad is a wonderful speaker, much better than me. And he preached the story of Jesus Christ. And the next morning, the men of the village came and they said, "Would you tell us that story again?" And I remember my dad said, "Hey, I got a story about a man that was swallowed by a whale." And they said, "Yeah, can you tell us the one about Jesus?" That's the one they wanted. Now, they might not know it, but people around the world, they're starving for the gospel. It is hope. It is life. It is joy. It's a blessing. And to be able to participate in seeing some of the world's most down and out come to Christ is one of the greatest things I've ever experienced. Well, they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent." Repent. That's what they need to do. They need to repent. And believe. They need to repent. I have an issue with missionaries who don't preach repentance. Because God has called us to do a unique thing. And you say, "Well, brother, some places you can't preach repentance." I haven't found one yet, and I've been to some pretty hairy places. You might have to preach it in a different way. But the gospel is what they need. That's the only hope they have. If you take Jesus Christ and put him next to anyone, Jesus is going to win every time. Every time. They might not admit it, but every time. You know, Confucius, he had a lot of good things to say about Jesus. Buddha, followers of Buddha, not Buddha, but followers of Buddha believe that Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Hindus believe that Jesus Christ is a god. Muslims believe he's a great teacher and a prophet of God. All of these people point to Jesus and say, look, Jesus is all of that. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think I'm going to believe Jesus. I think I'm going to believe the word of God. I think I'm going to believe what Jesus said. He's the life. He's the life. He has victory over death. He proved it. You can go to graves all over the world and find great men, great leaders of great religions, and they're all dead. They're all dead. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. They have nothing to offer anyone but death. But Christ offers life. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off. Far off. I've been to some places afar off. Let me ask you this tonight, and I'm finished. Maybe somebody in this room is afar off. You know what I mean? Maybe spiritually you're far off and you need to come to the Lord. Maybe in your life you have put on the show that you need to put on. You know how to play the game and you know how to do all of that, and then you come into this place and everybody thinks you're something that you're not. Maybe you're far off tonight. My prayer is that you will come near to the Savior tonight, in all honesty, no hypocrisy. It's just us here. And if you need the Lord, don't leave without him. He's near. He's near. You're surrounded by loved ones. You're surrounded by friends. No criticism. We will praise the Lord if you come to Christ. We will just worship the Lord and be so excited for you. Maybe you need to make a decision. Something else. I don't know. You can do that tonight. This is the place. Let's stand to our feet, bow our heads, and close our eyes. The musicians will come up to the piano and begin to play a song of invitation, and I'll have a short prayer and then turn it over to Pastor. I want to take a moment before I forget and say thank you, church, for your faithfulness. Thank you, church, for your generosity. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for you, and other missionaries do as well. The work goes on, and there is much to do. He's coming soon. He's coming. I pray that he comes soon. This world is just a terrible place. And if you could see some of the places, you'd be brokenhearted as well. And you would understand how blessed we are. You ought to just thank God tonight. You ought to thank God that you're in this place. You're blessed. And thank the Lord for that. Maybe God's working in somebody's life. Maybe you want to do something and send. Maybe you want to get more involved in sending missionaries. This church is sending missionaries. Maybe God's touching your heart about going and doing it yourself. Let me tell you something. There is nothing more difficult that you will ever attempt. There is nothing more challenging. There is nothing more humiliating. There is no time when you will be more lonely. There is no time when you will face more obstacles. And yet, there is no time when you will rejoice in the Lord as much as you do as a missionary. You will see the mountain peaks, and you will see the depths of the valleys, and you'll experience them. And I would not trade one moment of my life as a missionary for anything in the world. Elon Musk can keep his millions. I'm doing what God has called me to do. And I pray that you will make that decision, that you'll do the same with great courage. Heavenly Father, I pray that you move. Speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Pastor.